Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of chosen items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss each chosen item, it is hoped that you, the listener, will get to know them that little bit better.
Our guest on this month's show is Jessica Puglisi, WGXE's very own outreach coordinator. Having moved to the Hudson Valley region in 2000 when she was 19 years old, Jessica has since lived in the towns of Milan, Red Hook, Tivoli, Germantown, and Hudson. Throughout this time, Jessica has held some interesting and varied jobs that include working in a breeding facility for lab rats, as a copy center clerk at Staples, a bartender, a barista, a graphic designer, an editor, a bookstore manager, and most recently, here at WGXC. Although the radio station keeps her very busy, Jessica still finds time to focus on graphic design projects, coordinate music for a band venue, and bartend one night a week. Jessica is the oldest of four siblings, all girls, and she has a cat that she describes as being a bit of a nuisance, although most people find her to be very nice. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Why is your cat a nuisance?
She's very noisy. She's not destructive, which is nice, but she is exceedingly vocal and will not go very long without food. And though she is already obese, so
sounds adorable.
So, yeah, it's a little troublesome. Yeah,
bit of Pavlov's dog going on there. Yeah. Obviously, we're a cat, but you know, as soon as she hears the rustling of the cat food packet, she's there wanting food by the sounds of it.
Is she pretty well-mannered, do you think, or is she skittish around people?
No, she's very nice. She actually, she likes to be slapped on her butt, like, aggressively, and that makes her purr a lot. And she likes to go outside a little bit here and there, and I don't know, she's good.
Yeah, absolutely. My parents have a cat who meows, like, incessantly. Mm-hmm. But we think we got her as a stray, and we think maybe she's a little bit feral, a little bit wild. And so she's just, she appreciates living with us, you know, but she's not quite completely comfortable with people to be domesticated.
Yeah. My cat loves, whenever I'm making the bed, she jumps up and she wants to be attacking the covers, and then I roll her up in the covers, and then I press little bits on the cover and she tries to grab my fingers. Yeah. She's caught me quite a few times and cut my hands. But I think cats are like goldfish sometimes. You let them out, they putty, they meow to get out, and then when they get outside, it's freezing, mm-hmm. and then they want back in again, and then they forget that happened, and then they want back out again.
Oh, yeah, it is 5 degrees outside. Darn.
Yes.
Well, I'll give it a good college try and see if we can dig up any mice out of the permafrost that's been developing here in central New York.
Shall we move on to the first song of the evening?
I think that's
the afternoon,
great.
Rather.
Absolutely. Our first song is going to be...
It's going to be On the Beach by Neil Young, and we'll talk about that afterwards.
Day to day.
Was the superb Neil Young. A fantastic song. Jessica, why are you taking that to your cabin getaway?
I really like Neil Young, and I always have since I was a little kid, but 5 or 10 years ago, there was a period of time where a confluence of different people in my life were just having this prolonged Neil Young bender, and it just felt like the only thing anybody was listening to for a while. And I guess the album, you know, of all the stuff he did in the 70s, which is kind of just universally excellent, that I got the most into was On the Beach, which, you know, that is the title track of. And I don't know, I feel like I don't think I ever go on a long car ride or go on a trip without bringing at least, you know, one record of his with me. And, you know, the premise being that I'm alone in a cabin, you know, seemed appropriate.
I mean, Neil Young, I mean, is one of the best. If you want to chill out and just, you know, just be in the moment, there's no much better than Neil Young. It's fantastic. Now, given that we're doing a radio interview and having analysed the lyrics of the song, I'm sure you're maybe prepared for the next question, which is, I went to the radio interview, ended up alone at the microphone. And he says that about 5 times in the song. Is that? Did you choose that cheekily?
You know, of all the things the interview? I thought about that song, yeah, that was not the thing that sprung to mind in the context of this. I mean, It's more like, but it goes along with the whole like theme of alienation in the crowd, you know, and one I can relate to. certainly, just that whole loneliness thing.
I mean, this album at the time wasn't really well received, but over a long period of time thereafter, it developed and you know, a lot of people, it was picked up on and it developed cult status, and but it was held off from being a CD for a long, long time until about the early 2000s. Exactly. For some reason, I think that was Neil Young's choice, but I found that quite surprising that you couldn't actually get it until the turn of the century on CD.
And it's funny that you say that, because I feel like I saw a few different, you know, musicians ranking their favorite Neil Young type of lists in the last year or so, and that was consistently, you know, near the top. So it's kind of being rehabbed image-wise, you know, by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a slow burn, you know. And the two sides of the record are really different, you know, and there's this really, like, down kind of mood in the second half where you're just like, oh.
I read somewhere that during the making of the album, Neil Young and his musicians made a concoction of marijuana and honey. They drank this consistently throughout the album. And I think
it comes through.
It comes through in the sentiment of the whole album. Yeah. Whatever makes them tick, whatever works, you know.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Jessica, you mentioned listening to music as you're driving. Have you taken any road trips recently?
Nothing substantial, you know. I mean, not for a while, I guess. I drove around with a friend for like, you know, 4 hours last Sunday.
Nice.
You know, but, or actually, you know, even, you know, yeah, definitely like spend some time in the car that's not as purposeful as it should be, I guess.
I think in my lifetime I've taken one Sunday drive, and I was maybe 9, and it was awful. And it was in Western New York near Lake Ontario near Barker. That's where my grandparents lived. And my grandparents were from, you know, the older Great Depression generation, where everyone went to church on Sunday, did the Sunday drive, looked at, you know, all the neighbors' lawns, saw what the neighbors were doing. But as a kid, it's just like, I want to get out and run and play, and I don't want to be stuck in this car looking at houses where, you know, I don't even know these people. And but I think it was a big cultural thing for a while, you know, the Sunday drive.
I love driving.
Yeah. Well, I was actually, you know, I think I was commenting during one of these recent drives, or sometimes surrounding that, about I'm trying to figure out what moment in my life, and maybe it's just when you actually learn to drive for yourself, where it goes from what you're describing, Mike, where like being in a car for a long period of time is a way that your parents torture you, to being the most like pleasant, wonderful like way to spend time, and just, you know, getting to see, like, you know, each glance out the window is like a different landscape painting, you know.
Although I've discovered recently a lot of my friends are getting married and having kids, and nowadays they have SUVs, Jeeps, vans with video games, DVD players. Like, the age of are we there yet, I think, has come to a screeching halt.
I mean, I was about to say that. I mean, kids don't even look outside the window anymore. They're watching movies and playing games and
You know, even so that there's like two DVD players in the same car, and you can have different music, and someone can be playing video games, and you know
they're getting that big now as well. You can have a bouncy castle in the back, you know.
It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
and then they'll have self-driving cars, so I can be in the bouncy castle.
Play area annex in the back of the car, you know.
I just remember we had like a minivan when I was a kid, and it was a big deal who got to sit next to it there, because there was a radio tuner on like one side of it.
Cool.
And we would wrestle for. I mean, it was like whoever got that was really lucky. Uh-huh. And then it was just a matter of whether or not our parents would actually.
Can I tell you a story? When I was a kid, I went fishing with my dad and my uncles. And my dad's close friend, and the car was a heap of junk, and there was like 8 of us in the car, and we had to go on a ferry, and, you know, across to where we were going to camp, and the car, every time the car stopped, it would stall, so we had to push the car onto the ferry. Right, this was a really busy ferry, and I remember being about 13, and I saw this girl standing looking over to the sea, and her eyes kind of met, and I was like, you know, looking at her, I was like, she's really pretty. And then I had to push the car off the ferry, and I was like, Well, any chance I ever had of, you know, falling in love with that girl were completely dashed when she saw me pushing a old wreck of a car. Me and the rest of her redneck family pushing this car off a ferry. And, yeah, that was one of my memories of Sunday drives.
Darn it.
Ah, dear. Now, just before we go off the subject of Neil Young, I just want to bring this up basically because it's where I'm from. But there's a YouTube video, it lasts about 15, 20 minutes, of Neil Young busking in Glasgow.
Oh, really?
In 1976.
Whoa.
It was before, I think it was before he played the infamous Apollo Theatre in Glasgow.
Oh. And he was doing what in Glasgow?
He was busking.
What is busking?
Busking is when you're just sitting in the street and playing your guitar.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Whatever instrument you're playing and people throw you some money.
Were people recognizing?
Most people didn't recognize him. Okay. And he was just sitting there with a hat on and stuff like that and people playing away. The day of his gig and just playing. If you go to YouTube, you'll find it. It's quite interesting.
Is there a big Neil Young fandom in Scotland?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people love. Okay. I mean, you know, people love. And Neil Young's international, you know. Yeah. He's one of these guys that you could find somebody in Outer Mongolia with a Neil Young t-shirt on, you know.
Oh, Mr. Young, hello.
Just the same as everywhere in the world, you'll find somebody with a Glasgow Celtic shirt on.
Nice.
That was just an unashamed plug there for my soccer team. All right, Mike, should we move on?
We should. Now, Jessica, an item you would take to the cabin would be a writing pen, a writing pad, and a fountain pen. And what kind of things do you write? Do you keep a journal? Or?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question, because I do and I don't. I don't know, some time ago, maybe in like 2005 or 6 or so, I was visiting a friend in Maine, and I picked up what was like in an antique store, this little daybook that was from, I think, 1945 or something, and it was this 18-year-old girl who had methodically and in the most boring way possible listed what she did every day. She worked in like a fabrics, like a textiles plant in Maine, right, in the 40s. And I mean, I don't think there was a day, maybe one day, like on a holiday, she went to bed like after midnight, you know. But usually it was, you know, she did her needlepoint and was in bed by like 8 p.m. and like, unless she was completely lying to her daybook, just had the most like mundane, polite, nice existence, you know.
Right,
she did a lot of Sunday drives and, you know, went to church and everything else. And so I got really wrapped up in like basically how boring this but beautiful this like kind of like little object was, and so went out and bought as close as I could like an identical looking daybook and tried to do that type of writing. I was like, I'm gonna do this for a year and see what it's like to like a very, and so then that became an obsession, like each year, you know. I mean, so yeah, it's just a journal, but it was like very much like modeled after, you know, the sort of exercise to like strip down to its most essential elements what every day was like. What's the weather like? What am I eating? Who did I see? Like, why? How was work and everything else? And it kind of like was a different way, you know. Maybe I think everybody does gets like caught up in, you know, my own head enough that it was like really like refreshing to see it just as these like, you
yeah
know,
but I think when you do that, I think
details,
you
yeah
know, you can go back and pinpoint exactly what you did, you know. And it, you know, if you ate a particular thing at a particular time,
yeah,
you can, oh yeah, I remember doing that, I actually remember cooking that, you know, or mm-hmm whatever it was. And I think when you are specific, you remember memories specifically.
Well, exactly. Well, that's what I've been trying to do now that these are kind of older, you know, kind mm-hmm of going back to mm-hmm them after, because largely I never read back, you know. I never like flip back like, oh, it was last week, like, you know. I just, you know, there have been like, you know, various events in the last, you know, however long in my life where it's been making me reflect on things, and I'm like, wait, I do have this excruciating, sometimes like this like very meticulously documented log of every single thing that's happened. Like, what is it like to kind of go back there? And it's been interesting to do that. You know, sometimes it's like completely unclear to me what actually was going on because, you know, for whatever reason.
I mean, I actually saw that once in an art gallery where somebody had documented everything that they'd eaten in mm-hmm sequential order. And it was a giant poster on a wall. And, you know, it was intriguing to look at, you know. But
And, you know, like 200 years from now, if the journal's still around, somebody, if they get their hands on it, will be fascinated.
Yeah.
You
know, what was this cave woman doing?
Yeah, you know, scouring the pages.
What,
like, wow.
what is Hamburger Helper?
No, but it's funny. So that's like one type of thing I do. And then other things are more observational. But yeah. So the journal thing, I put it aside for about 2 years because I was afraid that was the only thing I was capable of doing anymore. And then basically a couple of weeks ago, I realized how much I was missing it, you know, and so I'm back on that train again, which is
so. Do you like writing with a fountain pen as opposed to a ballpoint pen?
I do. It kind of started just, I forget why. I think somebody gave me a disposable fountain pen when I was in high school. My French exchange student gave me a disposable fountain pen. So I always had an affinity for them. But when I used to work at this bookstore, art supply store, we had them for sale, and I realized how nice it was if you're writing for a long period of time, because the way you hold it is like less, I don't know, causes less hand strain if you like pinch it in. Right. So then I realized I could buy a pen, and if I didn't lose it, I'd never have to buy another pen. So now I just replace it with the ink, and it makes me feel good that I'm not throwing away and losing pens.
Do you know how much the most expensive pen in the world is?
No.
$1.28 million.
Who made it?
Solid platinum barrel and a coated with 2,000 gems.
Really?
Sold. I can't remember what it sold, but
doesn't sound very comfortable to write with.
Exactly.
But it was
sounds heavy.
Mm-hmm. Who would buy a pen for? Somebody's got too much money. If you're buying a pen for $2.3 million, then there's something wrong with you.
I think it's a pen for a princess, you know.
Pen for an idiot. You know, that could feed.
Could be both.
Feed Africa. You know, you know. See, if I had $50 million, the first thing in my mind to buy, wouldn't it be a car for $12 million, or a pen, or anything mundane like that? I just don't get real people.
Yeah, well, when you have so many millions, you know, you gotta find something.
Help and, people,
yeah. Or at least buy an island.
Yes,
yeah,
that would be cool.
Shall we move on to another song?
Absolutely. Our next song is going to be These Days by Nico.
Nico.
Thank you. sit on cornerstones and count the time in quarter turns to ten. Please don't confront me with my failures. I had not forgotten them.
That was the unmistakable Nico from the album Chelsea Girl. Jessica, talk to us about that song.
All right. Again, it's when I was thinking about what songs to choose, I was thinking maybe a little too literally because I'm not really in a cabin in the Catskills, but like entire albums that I'd want to bring along. And as I kind of mentioned when we were listening to that song, also try to structure it by maybe seasons, you know, and I was...
Is this winter?
I would say it's actually fall. I get this, like, total, like, kind of sitting by a window and not talking, you know, kind of just being a little chilly, you know, but kind of content in your melancholy kind of vibe,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And that whole album,
have
I
you
mean,
been... Yeah. But at this point, will you have been taking some of Neil Young's concoction?
Yeah.
his marijuana and honey concoction.
I do not... And maybe if the cabin comes pre-stocked.
Oh, how'd that get there?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, and it's just, you know, I guess that's just, again, like an album I go back to because there's so much, like, content, you know, just... It's just such a mood and such...
She's got such a unique voice,
exactly,
hasn't she?
Well, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, she died relatively young in her life at age 49 of a heart attack, I believe.
Yeah,
wow.
I thought so, right.
She was out cycling and...
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't like a bike accident.
Yeah, she was in Spain. She was in the Balearic Islands, Ibiza or something, and she was out with her son and she had a heart attack and fell and hit her head and she was misdiagnosed. They thought she'd suffered heat stroke, but she'd actually suffered a heart attack and then subsequently had a brain hemorrhage because of the fall.
Sure.
Which was very, very unfortunate for us as listeners to her music, because she's got a very unique voice, very soothing music. I quite like that. Now, she was under the influence of Andy Warhol for a very long time. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, yeah.
And John Cale played a lot of music with her, Velvet Underground, and influenced a lot by, well, she played some music of Bob Dylan's and, you know, The Doors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So she was very, very well received and very well thought of from a lot of stars that are a lot more well known than her. But very, very good choice. I really enjoyed that there.
Absolutely.
That was Nico, yeah.
Now, Jessica, another item you would take to the cabin is a hurricane lamp. You mentioned playing cards and taking it on a lot of trips. And why that item in particular?
Actually, it's a duplicate of an item I'm very sentimental about because that one was broken by somebody who will remain unnamed, who I allowed to borrow on a camping trip of
his
own.
I sense some tension coming from you, Jessica.
Well, yeah, well, it's a funny... He was so, I think, ashamed and terrified of my response that he didn't, I don't think he ever directly told me, and then many months, but I knew because he returned it to me, or he returned it through a friend, and it was broken. And
wow, he must have been terrified.
Yeah, and
like,
then like
you can't even give it to the person.
Yeah, when it all like actually came out in person, there was like this immense catharsis or something.
Like, man up.
I broke your lamp. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I think it might even say more about me than him. He was so fearful.
The wrath of Jessica.
Yeah. No.
What card games do you like to play underneath the hurricane lamp?
I have played. Well, yeah. This is legal. No. A group of my friends and I often play a Texas Hold'em game.
Oh, yes.
And so sometimes we take it to the woods for like, we've actually played in a cabin in Lake Taconic a couple of times for two consecutive years. And we play a nice civilized poker game.
Yeah, I play Texas Hold'em every Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's my game is on Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, where is your game?
In Hudson.
Oh, mine's just
undisclosed basement.
Mine's just in the top of the mountain.
Well, maybe we should combine those.
Maybe I will. Yeah,
I'm sick of the old blood. You know.
Are you good?
I'm. You know, we all win, but I win. I won. Not. I got creamed last night, but
so did I.
The week prior,
I get revered three times last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's brutal. No, but yeah, I won the week before, so I'm proud of that.
So I think for a lot of people who are going to be listening to us, we were speaking in Swahili there. sorry about that, guys. But if you played poker, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's no shame greater. Yeah, we actually have a term that is not radio friendly that describes that. I'll tell you afterwards.
But my favourite poker, no poker game, my favourite card game is cribbage.
I don't know how to play cribbage.
Cribbage is, I think, the oldest card game in the world, and it's fascinating. Mm. And I love playing it. I never tire of playing cribbage. I'll teach you one time.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to play it.
Now, Jessica, you know, a hurricane lamp, it's bulky, it's fragile, there's glass and metal. Have you ever considered getting one of these new LED lamps that extend and...
See, this is where, like, the hurricane lamp is the addendum, because I have, you know, I have a headlamp that I bring and use for the practical applications, but the hurricane lamp, you know, again, this being my totally, you know, like, nostalgia-laden album or item, I usually do have, you know, the little LED high-tech thing, but the hurricane lamp, I just like the light it gives off, and, like, you know, even if you're in, you know, if you're hiking or camping in a place where a fire isn't entirely legal, you can use a hurricane lamp, you know, open campfires, so what
you
I mean.
Heat out of them.
Yeah, and get the kind of glow. I definitely, one time, my friend and I, we were hiking up to Mount Elander, which is east, all the way at the edge of Columbia County, up to this cabin for the night.
And was it a cabin getaway?
It was a cabin getaway, cool. But it was in, I think, January, and this is an unheated cabin.
That was very cool.
Yeah, it was extra cool.
Well, wasn't it this year? Or you wouldn't be here.
But this is like me admitting to, like, breaking a lot of, like, you know, best practice rules in hiking. I didn't check the batteries in my headlamp before I left, but I did grab an extra pair of batteries. Long story short, both pairs of batteries were dead. We got a really late start on the hike, and so it's around, like, you know, almost like 5 o'clock, and we're hiking up this ice-laden hill with no headlamps because somehow he didn't even bring his, and I had the hurricane lamp, and so we basically, you know, with our big bulky packs and, you know, just the light of a hurricane lamp, like, climbed up this, like, really steep icy thing and didn't die. Felt like hobbits.
She's watched Jill Survivor. she do you like Cody Lundeen?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who he is?
No, no.
Cody Lundeen's the man, isn't he?
He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and Dave Canterbury, the first two seasons of Dual Survival. These two guys, you know, Cody Lundeen's like the hippie, Dave Canterbury's
I've heard of this.
The military.
Doesn't wear shoes.
Yes, he doesn't wear shoes. They send him up to, like, Alaska, and he puts on some wool socks, and he's like, oh, that'll be fine.
but the other guy on the Survivor Man show.
I've heard of this, too.
He's really cool.
Liz Stroud.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love these two guys. If I was, you know, you ever that somebody asks you that question, who would you like to be spending a night having a meal with? Yeah. Cody Lundeen and Liz Stroud.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a wee night with him.
Yeah, they are cool.
That didn't sound right, did it? I'd like to have a wee night with him.
Hey. Say, would you bring him to your cabin?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. I'll just leave that.
So anyway, also I found the hurricane lamp, you know, it really has this quaint rustic appeal that I think more and more we're losing within, you know, I've gotten into backpacking recently and talking with people that have done it for a while. They say, you know, the gear used to be primitive. You have a very basic flashlight or lantern, this metal frame, external frame backpack and a sleeping bag, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Bring cereal and stuff. Now they have freeze-dried meals and battery-powered lamps and
ultralight everything. Yeah,
it's like, well, my backpack folds out into a family room, complete with a couch and working gas fireplace. I don't know where the gas comes
just,
from. It
just add water.
Yeah, and you have but my carabiner is also a futon. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In a way, it's this great irony that, you know, even when I go backpacking, you know, we take our iPods, we take our MP3 players, some little speakers, so we've got music that we're listening to. And so the whole point is to get out, you know, back into nature, away from civilization, leave it behind, and yet I still feel compelled to bring it with me. So I appreciate that. The hurricane lamp, there's still something
that's a good
quaint
point,
about
mate.
That.
That's a good point.
Really, really cool. And another thing you'd like to take is maps of the Catskills.
Yeah. Well, I want to know where I'm going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you? Do you have any favorite hikes or memorable hikes that you've been on?
Oh yeah, lots. Let me think.
Okay, moving on then.
I guess there's something kind of boring about talking about hikes you've been on, because it's like all like, well, it was, you know, we walked through the woods for a long time and it was beautiful, is I think how it's... telling your dreams to somebody else. Like, they're just like, they'll listen and they'll nod. But yeah, no, I mean, I've done a few. I mean, I've done a lot of the Catskills. I'm trying to think.
Have you done maybe Wyndham High Peak?
That's one of the big ones I haven't done, because I've done like the whole Devil's Path and I've done all the southern stuff. Like,
now, you know, Devil's Path, I've heard, is insane.
It is. And I did I did that early on, and I did the whole thing with a group of friends in like a couple of days. And
did you sleep in the lean-tos? And
I had all my own gear, but we one night we did pitch where we did just go in the lean-to near Hunter, because it was absolutely pouring out, and it was kind of an amazing, because we like went up and we're like walking, we're like, oh no, this weather is about to get like wild, and because there's wind and clouds and everything else, and like moments after we got to the lean-to, it was just like it opened up and like the entire trail was flooded the next day. And it was extraordinary to see, because it was, you know, we're just in lean-to like, relatively dry.
Thankfully, I brought my fold-away king-size bed.
I hiked just east of Syracuse this past summer, and we got to this one lean-to, and it was at the end of a long day. It was blasting hot. It was one of those weekends where, you know, it was like 100 degrees three or four days in a row, So it's the end of the day. I'm kind of dehydrated, not really focused. And on the way up this hill to the lean-to, we passed by this tree that had been knocked over, and it looked like it had been burned. And I didn't even give it a second thought. My friends kind of checked it out and were like, wow, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then we get up to the lean-to, and in the trail register, there's an entry from a week before or something. And the guy was like, my name is Vlaklov. I came here with friends. There was the worst lightning storm I have ever seen. Lightning hit the tree and blew it up, and it caught on fire.
Oh!
So they're in the middle of the woods east of Syracuse, and this, you know, insane lightning storm blows up a tree. Like, I could not imagine what that would have been like.
Wow.
And it sounded like, you know, the guy's English, he's clearly from another country.
Yeah, yeah.
I just... I was like, boy, that must have sucked. Yeah. there's a lot of great and beautiful hikes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've done the Hardenberg Trail around here, and I think it's the East Phoenician. And
did
the
you
Burroughs
say Heisenberg?
Trail. Unfortunately, not the Heisenberg Trail. That would be awesome.
Have you seen Breaking Bad? You don't know what you're missing. Sorry. As a segue there, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. And the Burroughs Trail, the highest peak in the Catskills is Slide Mountain. It's around 4,200. Have you done the Burroughs range?
Exactly.
Did you do it in a day?
I think like an overnight. Yeah, we camped. Where did we camp? On one of the little ones. You know, you go up slide and then back down the other side.
Yes.
You know, and there are those three that are about the same height in a row, kind of.
Yeah, it's Wittenberg, Cornell, and Slide.
Exactly, yeah, and exactly.
Or Slide's in the middle.
Yeah, and so it was, I just remember the lean-to having like a big kind of meadow behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think that's where we stayed. It was an offshoot at the end of the trail?
Exactly.
But by the time my buddy and I got there, we were about ready to die.
Yeah.
That was summiting those three mountains in the course of a day. It's almost 14 miles, but it's just like vertical climb up, vertical climb down, peak one, next peak, and over and over. Oh,
yeah.
I was pretty beat, but a lot of gorgeous scenery.
Exactly.
And the Catskills are beautiful for hiking.
Yeah, they are fantastic.
What is it called? Giant Ledge. Do you know that spot?
I do not. I'm not familiar with that.
That's near there. It's a little further, but that's maybe the prettiest place that I have not yet camped. I've just hiked there a couple of times, but just like the most endless ocean of like peaks, like kind of in front of you. Anyway.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to move on. Another song you'd like to bring is Tell Me by Galaxy 500.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to check it out.
Okay.
I want
are listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE 90.7 FM. That was Tell Me by Galaxy 500 from the album On Fire. Jessica, when were you first introduced to Galaxy 500?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. You know what? I think my friend who I used to work, I mentioned at this bookstore. Not on the air. I mentioned it to you guys privately. my friend, one of my coworkers and also friend and also, excuse me, WGXC programmer and local musician, Liv Caro.
Hi, Liv.
Hello.
But she would just bring in great stacks of CDs. And I just think, so probably heard that first when she brought it in. I think she was working there around 2009.
Right.
And, you know, I'd heard of that band forever and just never, like, somehow hadn't fallen into my ears yet. And I think I basically stole the CD, maybe. Sorry, Liv.
Oh, my God.
Well,
it may have happened.
She knows where it is.
But, I mean, you know, immediately.
Thief.
Yeah. And I definitely, it's just, you know, I know this is now a broken record, but these are,
I mean,
all.
I said in another show.
What did you say?
Don't tell lies.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now, folks. Don't steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was burned, so it didn't have a lot of value, you know? It was like a, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
But, you know, Liv, if you're out there, I'm sorry. I'm sure she has, like, a vinyl copy of it all, and it's okay. But if she doesn't, we can have tea and talk about it. But, like, you know.
Now, this, and Galaxy 500, some of the folks in the band were Dean Wareham, Damon Krakowski, Naomi Young. Mm-hmm. And they met at the Dalton School in New York City in 1981 and then later went to Harvard and played together there. And something really interesting I found, Krakowski knew Conan O'Brien and needed a drum set. And Conan O'Brien had just bought one thinking that he would pick it up and decided not to. So he let Damon Krakowski borrow this, and it's the drum set that they have used in a lot of their albums.
There we go.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Conan. Conan's drums.
Great gingers. Yeah.
Remarkable. And
yeah, great moments in ginger history.
But yes. They were kind of a flash in the pan, you know, from 1987 to 1991, they did a few albums, mm-hmm. and then, you know, their time kind of was up.
Yeah, but they've gone on to do a lot of more stuff after that. Like Dean Wareham does, like, you know, has had like other projects go on, and like Damon and Naomi had a record label, I think called Damon and Naomi. So, you know, they've remained active. I didn't read it, but for anyone who's interested, Dean Wareham, I think it was a biography, not an autobiography. Maybe it was an autobiography. It came out, I think, last year or the year before. And I can't remember if people said it was interesting or annoying, but it exists.
What is this? Is this the summer?
This
the spring? The fall?
Winter. You know
this
what?
Is winter.
And actually, to be very honest, when I was thinking about it, because, you know, I was actually driving home last week on Monday from visiting my sister in Lee, Mass, and had this on, that whole album on during the drive. It's like I take, you know, near the Red Lion Inn, and so you're kind of driving down this like corridor of at that, you know, it was covered in snow and real gray and depressing looking, and was listening to that. The next song is actually called Snowstorm on the album.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I almost took that one, but honestly, Tell Me is my favorite one on the whole album.
Actually, funny you say that, because I was looking through it and I saw somebody had commented on the Snowstorm,
mm-hmm.
and they'd said this was the theme tune to my footage for the nor'easter that mm-hmm. hit such and such a time.
Oh.
So I was like, yeah, somebody's obviously got the same idea as you.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, there's just something that kind of like distance and that, like, you know, I don't know. And again, it's an album that is, you know, driving around the Catskills and things like that alone. And that song particularly, I don't know, it'll stay with me for like weeks sometimes, just like in the back of my head. So I don't know.
Very quickly, mm-hmm. You know, going full circle. The album, what was the name of the album again?
On Fire.
On Fire. It was said to sound like or had influence of Jonathan Richman.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Richman played a lot of music and did. John Cale
mm-hmm.
actually produced his demos.
Oh, really?
And obviously John Cale and Nico We're very close. So,
wow, what a coincidence.
Full circle.
Well, you know, after I submitted this, except for the song we haven't played yet, and I won't spoil a surprise or something, I was really, all of these are, you know, well, the two male vocalists here are like incredibly nasally, and I think a lot of people maybe have argued that they're both distasteful. And, you know, the female vocalist is the opposite, but also like this like kind of like voice, which, you know, I think you can make arguments for either side, you know.
Yeah, it's the sinus of the times.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, that was terrible, wasn't it?
It was pretty good. I appreciate that.
Oh, dear. Right. Mm-hmm. You're going to take a camera with you.
I am.
Which is quite, you know, yeah, which is, you know, I suppose many people would take a camera to the their Catskill getaway. What specifically are you taking with you? What type of camera?
Old crummy film camera.
Really?
That I'm fond of, yeah.
Oh, Kodak is your biggest fan.
Kodak?
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, I like, you know, if we went to my house, I kind of haven't gotten over physical media, you know, in the way that I think everybody else in the world has. So I like to have physical photographs. I'm not a great photographer. I took, you know, in high school, I took a photography class, but, you know, I'm not making great photos is what I'm saying. I'm making snapshots and I'm very happy to do that.
There's something fascinating about being in a dark room and watching the photograph come into life when you've got it in that, you know, that tray of water or that whatever fluid it is.
Yeah,
and it just starts to come alive, you know,
yeah.
And you're like, wow, yeah. You know, for the first time, it's a great feeling.
Absolutely.
And, you know, with it in this digital world, that doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen as much. And, you know, there's something to be said for real camera film, you know, that you wind on and you've put into the camera, etc. It's sad now. Statistically, 2 out of 10 photographs that are taken nowadays will never be printed in paper.
Wait, 2 out of 10 will never?
Only 2 photographs of 10.
See, that even surprises me. That seems like more than I would expect.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I guess people do go and bring their, like, you know, 10 files to CVS and have those printed. I've never done that.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you ever been to a place and got the wrong photographs and you get the photographs back and it's like some really hot person with skimpy clothes on or something? And you're like, I'm not taking these back.
Excuse me.
It's like the intro to a very sleazy horror movie.
Yeah. The man with the wrong photos. Now, do you know what the first photograph was called?
Ooh. What the actual first photo was?
Or yes.
What the not a daguerreotype.
First photograph.
The actual first. I have no idea. What was it?
View from the window. 1826. The exposure of the shot lasted 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I can't pronounce this guy's name. Joseph Niepce.
Sure.
N-I-E-P-C-E. Sorry for MD with the same name that I've pronounced it wrong. But that was just a little bit of knowledge.
What window? Where was it taken?
Don't know where it was. I think it was in Hudson somewhere. I'm not kidding. I honestly don't know. Yeah. And the basis of the first digital camera was invented in 1973.
All right.
So there you are.
Nice. The beginning of the digital age.
Yeah. Shall we take the last song, Mike?
Absolutely. The last song we're going to play is Sunflower River Blues by John Fahey. Thank you.
That was a fantastic song by John Fahey. It was called Sunflower River Blues. Jessica, tell us about it.
Well, I guess I took that one because, again, it's, you know, a high point from a favorite album. And if I were to be alone in a cabin in the Catskills, I would want to hear some, or just know that I had something kind of clean of, you know, heavy input. You know, like all the other songs are so laden with expressed, like, specific sentiments and, like, lyrics and everything else. And I would just, I don't play guitar. I've always been blessed to have great musicians in my life and, you know, the luxury of hearing live music. And there's something so just nice about the production, and like everything in that album is just so immediate and raw that it's,
yeah, yeah. When I heard it, it struck me as something that was just beautiful to listen to. Well, we've come to the end of the show, Mike. Jessica, it's been a pleasure having you on here and listening.
You.
We could speak for another 2 hours. We've got so many things we could have talked about, but it was great to listen to your songs and hear your stories and the reasons why you picked those songs. It was fantastic. We have one more question to ask you, and it is, Mike.
Jessica, how do you take your coffee?
Oh, well, it depends. Black or with cream.
Now, you were a barista, so you must understand the science behind a great cup of coffee.
You know what? I was a crummy barista. No, I can finally now reliably produce a decent, like, you know, French press of coffee in my own home, but I'm hopelessly addicted to having my coffee made for me, specifically at a very lovely local coffee shop that I favor.
And if it's one of the ones that I've been in around about here, that's good coffee.
Yeah, very good coffee.
Excellent.
I'll shout it out because I think this is within our non-commercial guidelines. Swallow Coffee on Warren Street has very nice coffee, I find.
Swallow Coffee.
Swallow Coffee.
Swallow Coffee. Yeah. I will get one from there.
Yeah.
Whenever I get the chance.
But, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like mine small black Americano.
Yeah.
Sweet. Fantastic.
That is a good option.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, shall we leave it there?
Yes.
You've been listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Jess Puglisi. You've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music. And thanks to everyone else at WGXC. Thanks.